You're listening to Hottery Humble.
No howling, only wooing.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go!
Welcome, welcome to episode 32 of the Heart to Be Humble podcast. I am the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle, and I am joined, as always, with the greatest value.
The greatest.
Sitting in an aisle right now, Chad Graham. How you doing today, Chad?
Doing good. Well, actually, you know, I'm a little sad. I'm a little sad, Tommy. No sports.
Well, it's good to be here. Just say it's good to be here.
It's good to be here.
But you're sad.
It's good to be. It's good to be here. I'm healthy. I'm happy. But I miss sports. I need the Michael Jordan documentary to get released ASAP. Release that thing early. It's supposed to be released in June. Perfect Father's Day gift. But I need it now. 10 hours. Michael Jordan and me. Like, I need it.
Are you going to be able to watch? Is it going to be released 10 hours straight or is it episodic? Do you know?
I don't know.
If it is released 10 hours straight, will you just tell your family, I'm checking out today? I've got 10 hours booked.
I will dedicate 2 hours a night so I can enjoy it for 5 days straight.
That's good. That's a moderate approach. That's like getting, you know, a whole blue bell of ice cream and just saying one scoop a night. It's all fine. You know, it won't make me fat.
And then I'll probably watch it again.
The highlights. So what, Chad, what's the highlight of Michael Jordan's, what's the highlight of Michael Jordan for you? What's the one thing you're looking forward to most to see?
I think it's going to be like it's a look in the 97-98 year, and it just kind of follows them. I'm excited
Realize it was that focused. So it's one year.
I think there's some like behind the scenes where an all access camera crew got like an all access look for that whole season because they were like obviously it was their sixth ring that they got. And so that year they got just like 100% all access. They got to see some things. But my thing is like, why have they been sitting on it this long? That makes me question a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. So I'm hoping to like see something I haven't seen before. There's a lot of good interviews on there. But I'm just ready to watch MJ just play some hoops, man.
Michael Jordan.
Do you feel like this is some kind of way of MJ stealing LeBron's Space Jam 2 Thunder just a little bit? I guarantee it is. That's my opinion.
It's supposed to be released this summer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Space Jam 2 is.
Michael Jordan,
he's a competitor, man.
I feel like, is the low-key. He does things you just under the radar, but fully intention to mess with other people, you know, to stay the champ, you know?
I hope so. I hope that's what he's doing.
He never talks about it. He just does it, and it works out for him, except for baseball.
Hey.
But one, you know, maybe you could say it did work out for him in some way.
He had a couple home runs.
Yeah. Double A.
Three home runs.
Double A. Not.
Okay. You hit three home runs in Double A.
Oh, I probably couldn't even hit a ball 200 feet with a wooden bat. I probably couldn't hit a ball, period, right now, so. Who am I lying?
Oh, man.
So today, you know, speaking of MJ, I mean, maybe a weird transition. Maybe not. Maybe not, Chad. Maybe it's a perfect transition from MJ to Manny Watkins, a very special
Manny
guest.
Manny Watkins.
We have on the show today. Thanks, Manny. We're just excited to have Manny. It was awesome. We just interviewed him. So y'all enjoy.
That is Hitman.
Right, and welcome in a very, very, very special guest today. We have the Manny Watkins. Very excited to have you on the show today, Manny. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here. We tried to get it before Christmas, and then we had some obvious distractions there, so we're finally getting on it. So I'm excited. I love doing this kind of thing.
I'm pretty sure I said, hey, I'll get back with you after Thanksgiving. And then I was like, now's the time. But it was kind of, I was saving it. I was like, it's got to be the right time. You know, you can't just have Manny on just at random time. So, and then it was crazy because I was like, oh, I'm going to have you on right, you know, NCAA tournament time. It'll be a great, and then look what happened, you know. So just, I guess it is what it is. It's the time that it is, Corona.
I've got butterflies on. I mean, we got the Manny Watkins here. I mean, come on. Like,
you see me every hero. Day. You see me every day. There's no butterflies, nothing.
We got the Fayetteville High School star, the 4-year Razorback player. We're excited to have you, Manny. Man, thanks for joining.
Thanks,
and are you still? How's the Man the Mic show coming along?
It's going well. So we just got the note from the for our radio thing that we do Sunday that they're shutting it down indefinitely.
Oh, no.
To like kind of figure out the what's going on with everything, coronavirus, everything going on with that. So we're not gonna be doing any more Sunday, but then I think we'll probably just kick back up with the podcast now, since we're kicked out of the radio station for the time being.
Gotcha.
That's awesome. Yeah, tell us the name of the podcast, because I don't even know if I know about that one.
Yeah, so Man the Mic podcast. We're not as diligent as we should be because we're all really. We live really far away from each other. So we're going to start doing it remotely like this because it works easier for everyone. But yeah, it's Man the Mic podcast. We get on here and, you know, shoot the jokes at each other, talk about the Hogs, and then just talk about really anything going on in the sports world, which our content would have to be pretty original. Coming up here, there's not much going on.
Is it not like the weirdest time of your life, basically, right now? It's like, I don't know what to do with time. It's so weird. I can't watch sports. It's free. So I'm reading books. I guess it's good, but, you know, it's weird.
It's so weird. Like, I don't even, like, I'm still, like, in this stage where I'm like, this is a joke type of thing. Because it's just like,
somebody wake me up.
What's going on?
Hopping into hoops, Tommy, I wanted to ask the first question. Just looking back on the year, Tommy and I follow pretty closely. Obviously, you do as well. Your thoughts on Mason Jones, SEC Player of the Year. We know that he did receive some honors. I know you're friends with him. Tell me your thoughts on, obviously, the first award they came out went to UK's Quickly. And so just kind of, you know, is it the best player on the best team award? And obviously, Mason's numbers, ridiculous. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's what it is. It's they do that, the best player on the best team. And I think it would have been a no-brainer if they could have finished from 7th and above. Like, I think when the SEC saw 11th, they were like, it's just hard to give him – that outright when your team finishes, you know, third to last. But I mean, obviously Isaiah Joe went out. So that this year wasn't like a true representation of how good that team was. That team was pretty good, but no Mason, you know, yeah, he shocked everyone. I was, so my teammate Jabril Durham, who I played 2 years with, is best friends with Mason's older brother, Matt Jones, who went to Duke. So he's known Mason forever. And then, you know, like Mason was like 300 pounds at one point, like huge. I'm telling you, I tried to find the picture. He got rid of him. I don't know what he did.
Wow.
He like got on the internet and paid every person to take down any picture of him. Because like they showed one on SEC Network and that picture didn't do it justice. Like
I
saw some pictures of him before like now, and I tell you, it literally looks like they, like, that's a different person. They just had another kid and acted like this is the same dude. It's crazy. It's crazy. But
what's going through Mason's head right now for NBA wise? I mean, you can't put up better numbers than what he did this year.
You can't, and he's 100% leaving. Like there's no way he's coming back.
Yeah.
And I mean, you leave the SEC in scoring, you'll see yourself at least in a few NBA games, I think. I think he's gonna get a shot. Just because he scored in so many ways and he can shoot it well, and that's, you know, at a premium in the NBA.
Yeah. Did you ever put your toe in the pool on NBA tryouts and everything? Or
you know what? I wanted to, because I, even my dad being a coach, like, he was like, yeah, we can get you some workouts. Like, I don't know what that's going to mean. And you'll probably end up overseas. He's always shoot me straight. But I thought about it, and it was, that was the one, that was a tough decision when I was done. And I was like, what are we doing here? Are we going to try to go play? What are we going to do? We're going to stay here and try to get a job. And when I look back at it now, I wish I would have done like 2 years in the G League, like stay in America and then just get to play a bunch of basketball for like 2 years. I think that would have been kind of fun, just to do it and just see. But no, I mean, that was just one of those things where it's like, well, what are you going to do? And I feel like I left everything I had at Arkansas. So like when I made the decision, I was never like, ah, I regret this. Because I played my heart out when I had the chances.
That's awesome. That's good. Yeah. You know, you didn't, you know, you were blessed to not have some kind of crazy injury or anything like that that really kept you from, you left on your terms, so to speak. Yeah. You got to leave it on the court. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what made the decision easier. Like, all, knowing all that, I was like, you know what? We had a great run. We left it all out there.
Well, man, I feel like I've got tons of questions, but I don't necessarily know if they're all in any kind of cognitive order. So we might just start slamming you with stuff. All right. So first off, let's talk a little bit about Jimmy Witt. I know y'all grew up together, correct?
Yep.
Were pals growing up. So first thing about Jimmy Witt. So did he learn his free throw form from you, or did you have any impact there in that?
That's funny. Real quick. So right as you said his name, I got a text from him. That's kind of funny. that's pretty funny. But so no. And you know, he'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. I grew up with Jimmy. I'm obviously 2 years older than him, but he was always really good at basketball. So he played with the older kids. I was a fourth grader. He was a second grader. He always come play with us. And Jimmy was the best shooter by far out of all of us. Second grade, third grade, fourth grade. All growing up, like he was, you know, he was obviously really weak as a second grader, so he was shooting it, you know, with two hands, but like threes, mid-range, he was just the best shooter ever, or like out of all of our friends. And to be honest, I don't know the free throw routine, but what he did do, what he did do growing up, he changed his free throw, he changed his shooting routine a lot. That was one thing I remember, is he would always like, each summer he'd have a different looking shot, and everybody would be like, why you change it? Like, you can shoot it however you want to shoot it, and you make it. And it's just, that's one of his things. Like, he's like, oh, it doesn't feel good anymore. I'm going to change it.
Gotcha.
So like that was always his thing. He just changed up a bunch of his shooting.
Tell you what's consistent about Jimmy though. And that's that mid-range jumper. Woo.
Mid-range jumper, man. And that's one thing that's been the same for since I met him. Beautiful. He's always loved that mid-range shot. He was a big Kobe guy. He was a huge Kobe guy, and the mid-range shot, that Kobe was one of his influences on perfecting that mid-range.
Yeah, Jimmy was as Hog fans, I feel like we really got a treat with Jimmy Witt this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was a blessing for us to watch. Oh, like, his defense, he was, you know, I don't know him at all. So when I saw he was transferring back in, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know his personality. He was so not what I expected, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. He's mature, just like even keeled. He seemed like just
kind of
the glue guy, you know, that is him. That was cool.
He was, even when they were losing, like, and I'd be like, oh, you kind of freaking out. Y'all have lost like four or five in a row. And he was like, I couldn't even, and I'd try to like push his buttons, and he's just real level headed.
That's awesome. And of course, Jimmy, and sometimes I think you do it too, have a Twitch stream thing going on. Woo! Correct?
Yep. I need to shout out for my Twitch. I'm already a big gamer. So I was like, why not just broadcast it? I have, you know, crack some jokes with people. Few people know me from around here just because I played in Arkansas. Have some fun.
Awesome. Yeah. I am not a part of that scene, so I don't know a lot about it. But hey, you tell me where people need to go to watch. I think it's Jim Buckets. You tell me.
His is Jim Bucks, but we don't, who cares about Jimmy?
Okay.
Manny Watt21.
Manny Watt21.
Twitch. That's where you need to go. Twitch.com. And then type that in and you'll see me.
Awesome. Yeah. Is it Fortnite that y'all play, or is it something else?
Yeah, we play that, or Call of Duty. We try to change it up, but those two mainly.
Gotcha. All right. Well, hey, people know where to go to find you now. Yeah, I'm sure that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, let's shift tracks from video games back to basketball, I guess. Okay, let's jump into just some of the games you experienced while you were at Arkansas. So, I think it was your freshman year, if I'm not mistaken, where the Qualls dunk. That's all you got to say. Yep. The Qualls
dunk.
Tell
me everything you remember from that night, Manny.
So yeah, that one was so. That game is obviously the Kentucky game. My freshman year was kind of that first year under Coach A that, like, the excitement was starting to build up, just because, you know, the first few years the teams weren't very good. He had to recruit. You know, obviously we had Bobby, and he had that recruiting class, Mike Qualls, Anthlon Bell, those guys. Kyle Madden was there. It was one of those years where they were building. Like, it was a building year, and you could tell the excitement was there. And obviously, Kentucky comes in, and this was when they had that crazy recruiting class where they thought the year when they went like 39-1, they thought it was going to be that year. That freshman year, those guys were like, it was like Julius Randle, the Harrison twins, James Young, like all those guys were supposed to go 40-0, win the national championship, and then go to the NBA. So, like, they had a bunch of hype, and then we were you know, getting better every game. And it was just the Kentucky-Arkansas game. So, obviously, a huge game. Packed out, sold out house. And it was just back and forth whole time. The one thing you'll learn as you play college is, like, even if, like, the guys are NBA guys, they're still freshmen. When, like, the young guys, when they're might be lottery picks, this and that, but they're still, like, freshmen. And our guys were like, okay, I'm still not going to let an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old come in here and punk me. Like, I don't care if they're a lottery pick. So, like, you could tell the confidence in our team was high. And the game was just back and forth. And then that play, it was kind of like when it happened, it was one of those things where it's like, wait, what just happened? Because, like, I've never really seen too many, like, put back dunks to win the game. Like, yeah. Like, off of a shot. So, it was just – it was nuts. But
what was that locker room like afterwards with Qualls?
It was the coach. He didn't even like try to have a speech or whatever after, like, hey guys, we did this wrong. Like, yeah, he just came in. I'm pretty sure he was dancing. Everybody was dancing. And it was so crazy that, like, I didn't play a second that game. And I was in class the next day, and everyone was like, Manny, good game. Like, everyone's coming up to me. Like, I was a rock star for 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
And I didn't contribute on one thing besides clapping. I was like, I contributed the same amount y'all did at the game. Y'all cheered, I cheered.
was Kentucky always your favorite SEC team to play, or did you have another rival team that you enjoyed just, I guess, playing, maybe beating, you know?
Kentucky games were fun just because, like, you know, obviously Kentucky, they've won the conference a lot the past few years, and there's that, they're blue blood in terms of college basketball royalty. So yeah, you always want to beat Kentucky, but my favorite games were Missouri and Texas A&M, obviously, just because.
Gotcha. Yeah.
From where I grew up basically in Missouri from fourth grade all the way to my sophomore year of high school. And then my dad was the coach at Texas A&M, and I ran the halls of Reed Arena as a kid growing up too. So those were the two that I had always circled on my calendar, because those are just the ones where I was like, I want to beat those teams.
So I always feel like there is a very definite thing in basketball where guys circle those games. Like, I feel like Kayvon Allen always circled the Arkansas game. You know?
I don't want to talk about. He circled that game and then didn't want to circle any other games the rest of the year.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, so frustrating.
I feel like that's definitely a thing in college basketball.
That was the only team I didn't beat in my 4 years. Oh. I beat every team home and away.
Wow.
And I never beat Florida.
Gosh. Yeah, Florida, they just always have our number somehow.
Yeah,
it's so
did.
Frustrating.
It's crazy.
Get to the Vanderbilt game.
All right. So,
you know
so
what
we
I'm
will,
talking about.
So we will fast forward to, I guess, to your – I think it was your senior year. And I actually just watched some of the highlights before our call today, and that game was just nuts. I think with 6 minutes left in the game, we were down 13. which I didn't realize we were down that far. So 6 minutes left, mm-hmm. we are able to kind of just make it happen. Honestly, Dusty Hannes, I think, turned it on at the very end of the game and just was dribbling and, you know, getting layups around the hoop. But you tell me what it was like for you on the court.
Yeah, so that game was different. I wasn't even going to play that. I had the flu.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had the flu, and we had just played LSU the night before, and I played like 3 minutes that game because I checked in, and like my lungs were about to like explode. And I looked at coach and I was like, I'm sorry. And I hated that because I knew it was my senior year. And I was like, I don't get any of these games back. Like I wanted to play so bad, but that LSU game, like I checked in, I'm like, I'm going to hurt the team if I like try to force it and stay out here. So I don't want to do that. So I didn't get to play like at all that game. And then the Vandy game was, I think we played LSU maybe that Saturday. And then we had the Vandy game Tuesday or something. And I was still sick, but I was like, yeah, I can't miss any more games. Like, this is – my senior year is going to be over if I keep missing games. So I played that game. But, yeah, no, they had just murdered us at home. We played them, like, game three or four in conference. And we – like, this is a kind of a funny story. So their best player, Matthew Fisher Davis, got suspended before the game. Didn't make the trip down there, and they already had like the story on Vandy, they had like 7 scholarship players. So we come out there and we see them, and there's like 6 guys down there like doing passing drills, and we're like looking like like we're about to run these guys out of the gym. Like we were doing our layup lines like, oh, 6, and we run and press like the way we do. Oh, this is gonna be a 40 ball. Like we were literally laughing. They come out and, like, don't miss their first, like, 9 threes.
Yes.
And like, beat the brakes off us. The fans were, like, booing the whole second half. And they beat us by, like, 15 or 20. And we're in the locker room, like, we just got our asses beat by Vandy. And they had 6 guys. So, like, we were really, like, we were waiting for that game to go down there and get that one back because we really underestimated it. And Vandy's, if you've ever been, it's, you're like playing on a stage.
Yeah.
It's like it's a weird arena. It's kind of fun though, because your coach is on the baseline opposed to the sideline. So you can act like you can't hear him because you could be on the total opposite end and he's way down the other side. So you shoot a bad shot, you can't hear him if he wants to try to tell you something. But yeah, we get down like 13 and then Dusty starts, you know, doing what he does, just attacking the basket. Cause like at this point they weren't trying to foul. Like they were like, we're going to win the game. So don't foul. Like don't give them any easy fouls and get free throw line or get points at the free throw line. And we kept scoring and like hitting a 3 here, hitting a layup here, getting a stop there. And we cut the lead. And then I remember the last like sequence, they were up 2 and we were pressing and they throw it to their big guy, Cornette. And Dusty's in front of me and we have our little pressure and I push Dusty in the back. I'm like, go, go, go. Cause normally when the big guy gets it, they get rattled. So I push Dusty to go. He gets rattled. I go and I tip the ball, tip it to Jalen. Jalen gets it. We go down and then Daryl gets fouled on that 3-point shot. And like, if you go watch the replay, I'm like running around in a circle. Cause I'm like, what's happening? We were just down by like 13 and with like 2 minutes left and we're winning. And then Daryl obviously goes, makes all 3 of the free throws and we win. And it was, yeah, no, I was telling before we got on that we were on the plane after the game, like, what just happened? Like, it was one of those craziest games I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, I know the broadcast picked up, you know, right after Daryl made his, you know, he was doing the ice in the veins thing, you know, where you're slapping his arm. You were like pointing at somebody in the crowd, and then I still think it's undetermined. Was it a man or was it a woman? I think it was a man.
It was a man. It was a man.
Okay, good.
And it was, I went over to the crowd because the whole game they were like, Vandy did their homework, so they were like calling me like daddy's boy and like all like the whole game. So I made a mental note. I was like, okay. When we come back and win this game, even though I wasn't 100% confident we were, but if we do, there's like three dudes that were on the front row. I'm going over there and letting them know, like, yeah, who's daddy's boy now? Like, I want. And the second we won, that mental note popped to the front of my brain. I was like, okay, boom. Walk over there. So I'm walking down the line, you know, saying what I got to say. Maybe not some nice things. And then I'm like about to go back to my bench, and I see something at the corner of my eye. And at first I think, oh, someone's coming to like hit me. Like I thought it was like a fan like coming to like punch me or push me. So I look and I see that it was this like, I don't know, older, heavier set dude. And he's giving me the double bird. So then I'm like, all right, well, good. At least I don't have to like dodge any punches or anything. But funny story. The SEC commissioner wrote me a letter after that game, Greg Sankey, and was like, hey, thank you for not clocking that guy. And like, that would have caused a world of trouble for the SEC if like you would have like put your hands on him or something like that. And then the SEC tournament, he like took me out of the locker room and like shook my hand. He was like, hey, just want to say thank you again. So like I got a lot of good press for not retaliating for getting the double bird.
That's how'd that awesome. Dude get on the court?
Well, he had a seat on the court. He was like, oh, okay. he was like a super fan. He was like a Vandy like super fan that they like let kind of, you know, he gets VIP access.
Gotcha.
And he had a seat on the floor. So like, yeah, he had already was like sitting on the floor and he was going crazy the whole game. I remember him. He's just one of those super fans that like anytime the ref calls like a foul, he's like jumping out of his seat.
How tempting was it to not take the guy out? Because obviously you could have taken the guy out.
not tempting at all, because like I thought it was just so funny because we won. So I was like, he's just so mad, and I love it. I love it. Yeah. So it was just like, and then you can't come over here. I'm going this way. Like. And if you look at my teammates are still clown me to this day. If you look at the video, like when I see them come up, I like go the opposite direction rather quickly. So they're like, oh, you ran, like you stopped it, like you ran from it. They clown me. They said I ran away from them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you a question, but I want to make you not give an explanation for it. You just have to give me a name. So this will be tough. Okay. The best three-point shooter you played with, was it Macon, Hannah's, Barford? I think you even played with Jamario Bell, CJ Jones even.
Ugh. So practice, CJ Jones, no doubt.
Really?
CJ would make 9 in a row, 10 in a row, like not in scrimmaging. In scrimmaging. Like no doubt, but game-wise, Dusty. Like,
Dusty,
He's a sniper. Like, you had to had to know where he was at all times. And Dusty also, like, you put Dusty on the gun, that little machine that shoots the ball back at you after you shoot it into the net. I've seen him make, I think, 94 threes in a row.
No, like,
it's literally 94 threes in a row. I kid you not. It's literally like a machine. Like, looks the same every time. Like, he's just got it down to a science.
That's awesome. That's cool.
You still play, Manny?
Oh yeah, any chance I get, I still play. It's hard to find games around here. Sometimes about the guys when I was in high school, they're still around here. They'll play. I'll play with some of them. And then when like in the off season, I'll go down there and play with the guys.
Yeah. Man. Anytime you're up for a free throw challenge, a little three-point challenge, or even one-on-one, Manny, I'm not scared of you.
Let me know. I love it. I just have fun.
I'm a very good set shooter. I can't create my own shot. I'm money, though. If I'm set shooting, look out.
All right, Manny. Let's leave with one, I guess, final question. Let's make it just a funny story, whether it be about maybe Bobby Portis. I feel like Bobby Portis has to have some funny stories, but maybe Coach Anderson. Just what is a funny story that just, you know, hasn't been told or very few people know that happened while you were playing ball?
Yeah. So this one's about Moses, actually. Moses Kingsley is one of the funniest dudes. Like, it's so funny because, like, at Arkansas, like you don't really, like any college basketball, you don't really get to like get to know like the actual dudes that are out there playing, because some of them are the biggest idiots, myself included. Like, we are the biggest clowns. Like, and you just see us out there like playing hard, serious, like getting mad, and like that's all you see. But like, I mean, obviously, like, social media has kind of made it a little bit where you can get an inside scoop. But like, these dudes are the biggest clowns ever. But Moses, it was our second day, like, on campus, second day on campus. And Moses came from a prep school, high school, where, like, he played with Andrew Wiggins when Andrew Wiggins was, like, the man in high school basketball. And, like, they flew to games. Like, they did it, like, college at a high school level. Wow. And they, like, got everything they wanted. So, second day, we had weights. We had weights every day. The first day, Moses was on the Vertimax, the little machine that you use to jump. You, like, put cables on your belt, and you jump in there. He like lands awkwardly on his ankle a little bit, and like tweaks it a little bit. So we finished the workout, and then the next day I'm down there. It's me and Bobby, because all the freshmen worked out together. So me, Bobby, Moses. I'm down there with Bobby, and it's like 1 minute to weights, and Moses isn't there. So like the strength coach at the time, he was like, "Where's your brother? Like, you guys are responsible for this." So we're calling him, texting him. We get no answer. And it's midday. Like, he's not sleeping. So we don't know where he's at. And the strength coach gets a text from Moses. And he's like, "Hey, coach, ankle's not feeling too hot today. Probably not going to make it to weights or practice." text him, like, "Hey, not making it to weights or practice." You should have seen the look on the strength coach's face. Like, turned bloodshot red. Like, does he know where he's at?
Not coming in today.
No, and it's just like, and you ask him now, he was like, "Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking that day." But that was the funniest thing, where he was like, "Can't go today, guys. I'll see y'all tomorrow." And I was like, "Figured out it's not like that anymore. We're at the Division I level."
Yeah. That excuse won't fly no more. Well, yeah. Manny, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you on. And you know,
thanks, guys.
Yeah, hopefully. So again, go watch Manny's Twitch. What was your handle again?
MannyWatt21.
MannyWatt21. Listen to his podcast. Man versus Mike.
Man the mic.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Should have wrote it down better. Man the mic. Listen to Manny. Will you ever get any more chances to be a color commentator on some games, you think?
I think next year, like all the games that aren't SEC Network, I think they're going to let me. I hope so.
Yeah, I loved you doing the color commentating. You were awesome at that. So
you did a great job.
Yeah, thanks for all you do for the Hogs. Thanks for your time. You know, winning some games. It's been a pleasure, man. You have a great day.
Thank you. You guys too.
All right, see you, Manny.
So, what'd you think of that interview, Chad?
Man, fantastic. Manny's an awesome guest. I mean, great stories. The guy's got a great sense of humor. Gets to kind of see behind the curtain a little bit. So some of those stories are really funny.
Yeah. I love one of the things he said about, you know, we view these guys competing on our TVs as really mature and really grown up and really, you know, but in reality, it's like these kids are 18, 19. They're not mature. You know, they're still dumb kids that still have a lot of growing to do. You know, it's just funny when you kind of peel back to that layer and see a little bit of that. And you think, being a coach of that, you know, they're held to such high standards. You know, sometimes it's hard to coach an 18-year-old kid, I bet. Sometimes you might get a little moodiness out of them. You know, they probably aren't locked in like one might assume every single game, you know, when they're playing on the road against Northern Kentucky or whatever.
Yeah. The amount of the standard that grown men hold, like, these college kids, you know, and like, especially when you get like mad at a 18-year-old for making a decision for not picking your school or leaving early or something like that. It's like, you just need to calm down. Like, I don't know.
Absolutely. And I was a little bit shocked about Manny saying Mason Jones 100% going, you know, you just never know. But yeah, so it's
don't hold out hope. Yeah,
100%. Like, yes, do not expect Mason Jones back next year at all. He is a professional ball player at the moment. So, we had fun. I wish we could have saw more.
Postseason. You know, I don't know. Give me something.
Yeah, but at least they won their last game. You know, typically that means something super special. Not this year. So let's get into what I think will be kind of the theme of this episode. One of the big topics, Chad, just the darkest moments that we have ever experienced as Arkansas Razorback fans. And
is this our dark episode?
This will be a moody dark. I feel like that's, you know, the where most people are at right now. In all honesty, Chad and I are all about just trying to make this fun and enjoyable and bringing joy to you and but I still just the mood of everything right now is just darkness. And it made me think that would be the perfect topic to just kind of give, you know, just reflect on just some of the bad. It's just hilarious, to be honest. That's the funny thing about it. It's just what we've been through. We've been through a lot, folks. It's been rough. So Chad, I think this is a very personal question because, you know, there are clearly bigger losses than others, clearly, but that doesn't mean that it impacts you the same. I feel like it's a personal question, and I feel like a wide range of answers of the darkest moment. So I know what game made me feel the darkest afterwards, but what is your answer? What's the worst? Yeah. What's the darkest you've ever felt after a Razorback loss?
This game popped in my head immediately. You know exactly what I'm going to say. You know exactly the game I'm going to say. And so does our other friend, Jason. Shout out, Jason. When Auburn beat us like 56-0, that was the turning point of Arkansas football, and we all know it. Was it 3 years ago? I'm trying to block it out in my mind. But Auburn like took the first run play back, like 80 yards. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. There's like a reverse or something.
It's the play they always run. Yeah, Malzahn always runs that play. It's like if you watch any Malzahn film, you've seen this play. In the first play they run, there it is. And they rush for like 500 yards. I feel like I'm being dramatic now, but
I'm pretty sure they ran for the 80-yard touchdown. And then their next, we went 3-and-out, I'm sure, or probably fumbled it. And then they did the same play again, and it either went for a touchdown or it went for 70 yards.
Really long.
Yeah, I remember it was the exact same play, and they were like, they can't stop this, and we didn't. I remember that game well. I do think the game after that, we beat Florida. But so it's kind of like, I know people will counter saying that's where it all changed, but if you just look at that.
We beat Florida after that game?
I think so. If you zoom out, fact check me, Chad. While I'm talking here, if you zoom out, though, you really can pinpoint that Auburn game as something in the Bielema era changed there. That was something, like, post that, it really was different. Even though we beat Florida, that was kind of the fluke. But I agree with you, Chad. That was a monumental game-changing, program-changing, and we still haven't dug ourselves out of that.
I felt so gross. This felt, I don't know.
Did you fact-check me?
What year did we lose to them?
I want to say 2016.
For some reason I thought it was 2017. Oh yeah. you're right. Look at that. We lost 3-56 against Auburn, and then we beat number 11 Florida for some reason. And then there was something weird about that Florida game though.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but it was weird. Something was off. We lost to LSU, we beat Mississippi State, and then we lost to Missouri and Virginia Tech.
And then
that Virginia Tech game. Awful.
Yes, that Virginia, again, that was further proof of the, the Auburn game was just where it started, just the plane, like, if you imagine flying in a plane, like, the year before, we had been ascending in the plane, and we were cruising, it was going the right place, and that Auburn game was when one of the first jet blew, like, that was when the first engine blew, and it's just all been coming down since then.
And I remember that Virginia Tech, the Belk Bowl game, what were we up, 21-0? So I went and watched that on Dixon Street with some friends.
Oh.
No, I didn't go to the game.
No, I thought you were going to say you like rewatched it, like highlights something. No. I was like, why did you put yourself through that, Chad?
I remember this day very specifically. We were at Grubbs watching the game, and then we were going to go watch Arkansas, Florida basketball because they played like right after the bowl game, and Arkansas basketball had some like momentum. This was like our first, I think it was our first conference game. We were hosting Florida, and like we had some momentum going into that game. And obviously Kayvon Allen was going to be in town. It was going to be fun. Big group of us went. We were so excited. And I think what made it worse, we got so excited at the beginning of that bowl game. And then we just got smoked.
Yeah.
And then I went to Bud Walton Arena and watched Kayvon Allen drop like 40 on us.
Mm.
That day was awful.
That is awful.
Bad day. Started conference playoff, losing. Ugh. You're bringing me down, Tom.
Yeah, this whole thing might bring you down, but in a weird way, maybe it doesn't, because it's one of those things we're all in this together. It was that High School Musical. That's what it feels like. So a few people did mention the coronavirus. You know, this period right now is the darkest they've ever felt. And I get that, because no sports. It's weird right now. I have time. I'm trying to make the most of it, though. I'm like, I have time now that I don't have to commit to watching these games or doing this, that, or the other. So make the most of your time. But I asked a poll on Twitter about this exact question, and I couldn't, you know, I tried to limit it down to what I thought the three or four best were. So I went with three options and then said the fourth was just write what you think below. The College World Series dropped foul ball.
Oh, definitely took the
cake for the biggest, darkest hour. It got 62% of the votes.
Oh, that didn't even pop in my mind. I tried to block that out.
Yeah.
I would watch that game with you, Tommy.
Yeah. And we all know what happened, you know? It's comical. It's just comedy. How did that happen? And it certainly did. And we blew it. We had it so under control up until that one thing. But yeah.
You remember how we felt? You know, we were sitting there at wherever we were, and just that feeling of just, oh,
is this going to happen again?
We're going to lose the game. Yeah. The next game. We knew we were going to lose the next game.
Yeah. Is this happening again? And it did. The second, receiving 25% of the votes was the Sternover, when Clint Sterner, dropped back against Tennessee and kind of tripped over his own feet, I think, or maybe a lineman's feet, I can't remember exactly, and fumbled the ball there. And of course, Tennessee picked it up and won the game and then went on to win the national championship. I was a little bit too, I mean, I probably watched the game, but I was a little bit too young to really understand what was going on. I think that was like 97, I think, maybe 98. So I was probably about 9 or 10. I don't know. The Razorbacks just weren't like super important to me as a kid. You know,
get armpit hair.
Yeah, I don't know. That, so. But even from Clint Sterner's, you know, when you listen to coaches and Clint Sterner and players talk about that loss, I do think they ended up losing the next game to Mississippi State by a little bit. But if they had beat Tennessee, they would have beat Mississippi State. And everyone thinks that could have been our year to win a national championship if there was one. Now, we were really close that year, which is crazy to think about. And that one turnover, you know, it's so funny because Tennessee fans view that as like their miracle. Like that's their miracle play. So from Tennessee's perspective, they have, that's their most favorite moment. So I guess that's just how it goes. For us, it's one of our darkest and worst. And then I also threw on here the Sugar Bowl disaster. I didn't know what to call it.
Oh, yeah.
The lack of the scoop and score for the punt, you know, when we blocked the punt.
That was the interception.
Yeah, and that one was truly, I don't think I've ever felt so much pure joy whenever we block that punt and we fall on it. I'm like, there was so much joy. I was like,
oh, yeah.
And then I think there was like one or two plays later. I don't think it was the next play. I think there was maybe two or three plays, but it definitely wasn't fourth down when he threw the INT. I think it was maybe third down.
It was a third down.
Yeah. And just that feeling of just pure joy to just misery. Like that roller coaster that quickly was really hard. I do remember that one. That one was a rough one. But that was not my pick, Chad. You know what my pick is? My pick.
Can I guess?
Sure.
What sport?
Football. Yeah. Football.
Football. Man, the day Chad Morris was hired?
I was probably kind of excited that day. Like an idiot.
Man, I don't know. Oh, no, I do know.
Okay.
Louisiana Monroe.
Yes. Nice. Yeah. You got it. I, yeah. I'll, I'll remember people, the, I remember the couch I was sitting on. I remember everything about that moment. I remember watching that game, and that was right after Bobby Petrino. I think it was 2012. That was right after Bobby Petrino. Well, relatively after Bobby Petrino had, you know, screwed up, had his motorcycle wreck slash, you know, insert theory or whatever, conspiracy theory about him either getting beat up or motorcycle wreck, whatever. And, you know, we had John L. Smith, and we'd come into that season ranked, I think, you know, like top 10. And I think when we were playing Louisiana Monroe, we were number 8 in the country. Yeah. I was so hyped. Tyler Wilson, we had all the same players. You're like, how can we go from, you know, we had all this momentum from 2011.
Did you buy into John L. Smith is just going to keep everyone intact and just keep the consistency? We got the team. Let's just let them play.
Oh, absolutely.
I was so bought in. I was like, yeah, makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I was like, he can run it. It's the same players. Like, we haven't lost to anybody. If anything, we'll be better. We'll be a better team.
Tyler Wilson, so smart. He knows the system. I felt good.
And we were holding it together until that game, War Memorial Stadium. And the things I remember about it were, I believe Tyler Wilson got knocked out of the game. I believe, if I'm remembering,
everyone got hurt.
Yes. I haven't even rewatched this game ever. This is all from memory from 8 years ago, I guess.
Brandon Allen came in.
Yeah. And I know one of our players left on a stretcher. Like, they had to, it was just guys getting, and we were hanging on and we didn't hang on.
Here's the ball game. Browning being chased, finds the lane. He's got the first down, making his way to the end zone. Touchdown. Louisiana Monroe has pulled off the upset.
And I remember that is the darkest I've ever felt as a Razorback fan. It was just crushing because just the hopes and the anticipation. And that's where you knew that, like, this is over. That joy, that the way that we had been building that program with Petrino was officially over at that moment. It died in that stadium that day.
I feel like I picked a bad one. I picked a really bad one, knowing I should have thought about this more. My Auburn loss isn't that significant given all the other circumstances we just laid out here.
No, I like it though. That's probably a low key one that many people don't realize that us as friends talked a lot about. And I think, I think there's some, there's something to that. I think, one of my favorite answers, I also, posted it on Reddit. I've been starting to get on Reddit. So for any of the listeners, if you're on Reddit, great, you know, we'll chat on there. But if you're not on Reddit, hey, it's a cool place. It's a cool forum. It's kind of like Hogville Lite, just without the craziness. So this is the Razorbacks subreddit. Yeah, get on there. It's fun. One of my favorite answers on there, which was the most upvoted, was somebody answered their darkest moment was waking up every morning. There's some truth to that. Other games that were mentioned on there that we haven't mentioned yet, the Reggie Fish fumble. I'm going to call it a fumble. It was a muffed punt.
Great boomer by Wilbur. Boy, oh boy, fair catch. Oh, he fumbled it. He fumbled it. Touchdown.
In the 2006 SEC championship game, I believe.
Yeah. I totally slipped my mind. I watched that game not long ago.
Oh, really?
And the ups and downs of that game was insane.
Yes, it's a great game.
We had all the momentum. We stopped them. We're getting that. We stopped them to punt. Like, this was such a huge stop, and this was going to be a huge drive for us. I mean, we were just running free, and Reggie tries to field the punt on the 4-yard line or whatever it was. Oh,
so stupid, and man, when you think of like a single costly mistake, that's really high up there. That cost a lot. That was a very costly mistake that year.
Yeah. Ooh.
I actually was not able to watch that game live, unfortunately, which I always remember. I was at a, what do you call those? Like mixer or social club. I'm blanking on what you call them when you have like your fraternity or sorority or whatever social club goes out and have
a function.
That's what we called them. Thank you, Chad. Thank you for rescuing me.
Yep.
How was that a function?
You chose a function over the SEC championship game?
I guess. I was a freshman and I felt a lot of pressure, I think. I don't know. Bad choice. I would have reprioritized things. Somebody said some more recent stuff. Somebody put on here the San Jose State University loss.
Yeah.
That was their darkest moment.
I kind of expected it. Yeah. That was that bad.
I don't know.
I was there.
I'm trying to think of a good analogy of that. It was like we were already in a dark place. It's like putting a cap, like a lid on a dark place. Like that's like rolling the stone in front of the tomb, you know? So it was already pretty dark before that. We had a few people mention, and I don't remember this, Chad, so this is where I need your help. I don't remember it playing out this way. So 2017, we lost to North Carolina. When we were talking to Manny, we could have talked about this, but a lot of people brought that the refs gave them that game, and I don't remember it. Man. I need to rewatch it so that I remember, but tell me about it.
We were up 5 points. Goodness, I had under 2 minutes, or no, a minute left. Like a minute, we were up 5, and I think it was like 3 really bad fouls called in a row, like a charge, and then like a defensive foul where they like sent them to the line.
That's ringing bells now.
We were up 5.
That's all ringing bells.
We had the game under control at a point. You know when you feel like you have the game, like minute left, up 5. Like we had the ball, I think even. I have to get fact checked on that, but things were going really well. And then, I don't like blaming games on refs, but they certainly did not help at all. And it just, they kind of collapsed there at the end. And
that stinks too, because 2 years earlier, I think we were a 5 seed, North Carolina was a 4 seed. And they beat us then when we had Bobby Portis and Qualls back. You know, in that tournament, I remember that game. That one felt really close. And I think North Carolina went on to win that year, if I'm not mistaken. And they said Arkansas was the best team they played in the tournament.
Yeah.
I remember that. And then to lose 2 years later, probably with not quite as good of a team overall, but I think North Carolina was a 1 seed and we were a 9, in fact, that tournament. So,
well, what was crazy too about that, and I remember, I don't know why I was looking at this, because it wasn't a good team. I mean, they were decent.
Had Hannahs, Barford, Macon, I think Moses still, I think.
Yeah.
And then
that team
like
was
Manny.
Good, though. Barford and Macon. And Manny, I mean, that was a solid team. But I remember the most about it was the Sweet 16 was in Memphis. It was like Sweet 16 and Elite 8. And if we got past North Carolina in this round of 32, or no, it was Elite 8 that was in Memphis.
Yeah.
And like we had a team in between there that wasn't like, if someone upset another school. And so like we had a pretty easy path there.
Yes. I'm remembering all this now.
We would have played UK in Memphis.
Oh.
With, and they had Malik Monk. And UK wasn't like great. They were good, but they weren't great. And like another chance at Monk in Memphis. Can you imagine how many Hog fans would have been there? I was getting myself like super excited just at the possibility of that.
Didn't get it. I remember all that. Now it's all coming back to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, good stuff. Good stuff.
That would have been really cool to see. Mike Anderson may still be the coach if that happened though.
Probably so. I would. Yes, I agree. Somebody mentioned the tee blow out of bounds, which that one I know is very, when we played Florida.
In Gainesville.
Yeah, I don't remember this game. I don't have a good encyclopedic memory of this game personally, but I know it's one that most Hog fans point to just the worst, when we think of the worst refereeing period, like when we got hosed the most, when the refs took a game from us. This is the one right there.
You feel cheated.
Yeah, that's the one where we feel cheated. Was that 2007, Chad?
I think so. I remember there were 2 calls specifically on Tebow, like against us on Tebow, that were outrageous. And they were like 3rd and longs. I mean, they were crucial, pivotal, game-changing plays. And that was extremely frustrating.
Yes. Got a few more here. Somebody mentioned the game against Bama in 2010, where we came in as number 10. I believe Alabama was number 1. And if you remember, that's what most Hog fans say was the loudest they've ever heard Arkansas, because we came out of the game. We started the game, and I think Ryan Mallett threw to wheel like route. A wheel route. I can't remember the running back at the moment, but that one moment where we scored on Alabama to start that game was just so, and that's why Greg McElroy says Arkansas was the loudest stadium he's ever played in. That was it, I think.
Now out of the spread, here's Mallett back for the second time. He's got a man wide open. It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20, scoots in and for the touchdown, Arkansas.
I'm remembering all this stuff correctly. Of course, we screwed up.
A lot of hype for that game.
Yeah, I think Mallett threw three interceptions and screwed that game up, but that was pretty dark. Great game. Somebody mentioned the 95 championship when we lost. UCLA, correct, if I'm not mistaken?
Yep.
And, you know, again, that was one that I was born in 87, so I'm not like I was old enough to comprehend what was going on, but I didn't really understand basketball. I was like seven or something and eight maybe. And I just the thing I remember about that game is my mom went so ballistic. She went nuts. She was so mad. And I think it had something to do with like there was either a media timeout or somebody had a timeout. And it was something with the way, like, they put the ball, like, we were supposed to be back on the court, and we weren't, like, we were spending too long in a huddle, and something happened where we got screwed for something in there. That's what I remember my mom when I was a kid. That's what stands out from
funny,
that game.
It's funny what sticks out. I need to see a replay of that game.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see, like, what happened. I looked at the stats, and we shot horrible from the field. If you look at Scotty Thurman, like, he shot like 20% or 15% from the field. And so like, I want to see like, was he just not getting good shots? Was he forcing them? I don't know. I want to see a replay on that. Cause yeah, I was too young to remember any of that.
And then let's see. We also, somebody mentioned this, which was interesting to me. Somebody mentioned when Raleigh Williams III retired, that was the darkest moment for them. Unless I'm getting him confused. Yeah. Unless I'm getting him confused with somebody, I think that was one where you can even see the play. Like it was a very innocent play in practice. Like he didn't really, but it was a
spring practice injury that wasn't film. It was like an indoor one. I think like raining or something.
I think I even saw a video of it and
yeah,
he got kind of like hit, but it was just one of those that, you know, he got injured in a game, which one against, was it Ole Miss? I don't know. I might be making that up. He got like stretchered out of a game. And so he had a neck injury. So it was, you know, he knew that he didn't want to risk walking, you know.
Yeah.
So he made the right call, which is really sad. So yeah, those were our darkest moments for Arkansas Razorback fan. You know, of course, those are probably more recent ones. I bet we could go back in the archive and uncover some even darker ones even further in the past.
Ronnie Wingo was a wheel route. Just hit me. Ronnie Wingo had the real wheel route against Alabama.
Yes.
Just now hit me.
Perfect. Yeah, so it's weird because it's kind of a combination of just terrible things, but also there was a lot of fun things attached to a lot of those things as well. I mean, we ended up losing. We haven't won anything substantial in a long time, but it's kind of it's a bittersweet for a lot of those, I think.
Maybe they're behind us. Who knows?
Maybe. Let's turn the tide and move on to brighter days. So if you're listening to this, which I know you are, just know it may seem dark, but the night is always darkest before the dawn.
Ooh.
I think somebody really smart said that one time.
That's a good, that is a good phrase to use right now, Tom.
So, Chad.
Very well timed.
Do you have any best friends, high fives, punches this week?
You
probably don't have a lot of opportunities for any of this stuff.
Let's get ready to
high five. Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
A nice punch to the face.
You know, Eric Musselman's my best friend just because I believe in him, man. What he's doing, he's gonna have us where we need to be. I saw like his little speech, close the year out.
I was gonna ask about that. See him start crying at the end.
Yeah.
For those that haven't seen it, so he's given a speech and then he just mentions the tournament. He was like, if we had won tonight, I think he was probably referring to South Carolina. He's like, if we had won tonight, and then he just chokes up and he goes, we would have made the analytics say we should have made the tournament. And you can just tell there's something there there's something there. Like, he wants the tournament more than any human. You can just tell.
I love that. Love the passion. I'm going to punch. Let's punch the coronavirus. Just keep that going. I feel like we did that last time. Do it again. And high five. Tommy, I'm going to give you a high five.
Nice. Thank you, Chad. I'll give you one
back.
A lot of work.
A lot of work gets put into this podcast. You do a great job.
Well, thank you, Chad. I appreciate it. And
too much love on you.
I'm going to echo what you said with those. I don't think there's anything I can add there. I like where we're ending that. I'll give a parting wave. I'll give a wave today to Mason Jones. As we know, he's 100% going to the NBA or some professional league. Adios, Mason. Stinks, but
can't blame him.
He's making the right decision because, as we've mentioned, he's not going to be better next year.
Sorry.
Andy from Memphis gave us his, you know, it's pretty much all punches, so I don't even know what to call it. So we'll just go with what he says. He says, okay, boys, this week it's an all punch week. First punch goes to NCAA for canceling baseball, College World Series. Yeah. That did seem a little, you know, maybe we'll look back in a few months and be like, no, that actually was pretty smart that they did that. But yeah, I guess time will tell.
It seemed harsh at the time.
Yes, I agree. I'm okay with punching them at the moment. Second punch, he's getting deep here. U.S. pharmaceutical industry.
Oh.
For moving to China and leaving us in this mess, we need to make our own medicine in America. How was that ever allowed to happen? So Andy's getting deep. Like, he's getting economics, maybe even some politics thrown in there. I don't know. But that's a deep one. And P.S., I know how, but that's not a topic for this show. So Andy knows, but he doesn't want to, you know, that's too deep. And third punch goes to Corona. Mm-hmm. Beer. He did a little twist. It sucks. He says, seriously. He says duck, which is, so we don't have to beep that out, but he says duck this virus. He gets a roundhouse kick to the face like that, like Chuck Norris. Everyone stay safe. Thank you, Andy. We will stay safe as much as we can. Chad is an expert social distancing-er. He's been doing it forever.
This kills me.
I'm more the social distancer.
Chad's dead.
A man of the people. Needs people. He's like a dog. He's like a golden retriever.
I'm going to die inside.
I'm like the cat. I'm still a Sebastian Maniscalco joke. I just go into a corner and hide when people are around. Well, all right, Chad.
Great show.
Got anything else today?
Just put a smile on your face.
Hang
in
there, people.
You choose to do it. Put a smile on there.
Hang in there, people. We love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening. And God bless. Godspeed.
Yes, sir.
And we'll pick Sunday. See ya.
Good show, Pickle. See you, man.
Thank you for listening to Hard to Be Humble. Every ounce of support you give us is greatly appreciated. We can't thank you enough for tuning in with us today. Go now and follow the show on Twitter at @humble_podcast and on Instagram at @hardtobehumblepodcast. And if you'd like to have any of your thoughts, ideas, opinions, or concerns heard on the show, you can leave a voicemail or text our dedicated phone number at 615-392-0107. Hog calls are especially encouraged. And finally, never forget, as the late, great Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially if you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Go Hogs!